Let me guess. Your new brilliant scheme is to commemorate the re-DVD release of No Holds Barred. You went for Over the Limit and got me Zeus as my next opponent.
What's that smell?
Dookie.
Yeah, Wednesday, yeah. Brutus the Barber, Beefcake, and Hulk Hogan, y'all come to our house.
Yeah!
High steel cage all the way around. There are no rules in a steel cage. No rules, but this man, he has no control. And when you get him with rules and regulations, he's like a fish out of water. But in our house, yeah, all you pukamaniacs are gonna finally see something that you wish you never saw, but you did. And there's nothing that you can do about it, cause Hulk Hogan, yeah, he is. And Queen Sensational Sherry, where are you gonna be?
You don't
and
know.
Oh,
you don't know where I'm gonna be, Hulk Hogan.
No.
You don't know where I'm going to be.
Hulk Hogan, anywhere. Anywhere, Zeus.
Hulk Hogan!
Machine, yeah!
This is my home! This time, no referee! I am gonna destroy you!
Oh, you pukamaniacs! This Wednesday! It happens, yeah. Doesn't it happen? Doesn't it happen?
You don't know where I'm gonna be, Hogan!
No!
Hello and welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling podcast. Filmed in glorious grapple vision and encoded with blast processing, we're here to chronologically critique the Hulkamania era, pay-per-view by pay-per-view. And yes, OSW Review, we are the bee's knees, the dog's bollocks, and the rooster's cock.
Hey!
It's Hulk Hogan and Zeus's 1989 classic, No Holds Barred.
There's a film.
What song is that?
There's a film.
That's Superman. Joining us for the 16th time. I'm your host, Jay Hunter. Joining me as ever, the agreeable, Steve V1.
All right.
And the disagreeable, Steve, Mr. OC.
Sure.
How's it going, lads?
Not too bad, Jay.
What's up? I'm fine.
No Holds Barred. Oh, come on, Steve. Come on.
What?
No, I'm just giving you shit. No Holds Barred, released June 2nd, 1989, when Hogan was a wee nipper at 35. Intended to boost Hogan's film career a mere 7 years after his last film, Rocky III. Perfect time to do it. Directed by Thomas J. Wright. This is his only film. He's a TV director. He directed shows like Smallville, Firefly, CSI. And written by Dennis Hacken, who hasn't done anything else. And music by your boy, Jim Johnson.
Yeah, I noticed that actually. Yeah. I thought you'd be cracking track and all that.
Oh, so. Yeah, I was waiting for Gangrel theme to hit. Jim Johnson responsible for all music in the WWF since 1985.
First of all, nice VHS rip. It was awesome. It was all funny at the start. It was like somebody was messing around with their tracking. Do you remember that shit back
Excuse
in the day?
Me, Steve, I legitimately purchased this pay-per-view.
This was never released on VHS. But you mean you bought it in 1989 where pay-per-views weren't available in Ireland? So you swam to America, bought a house in order to get cable and ordered the pay-per-view.
And wrote my notes down then.
Amazing.
You're a bitter 6-year-old. Just a quick whip round about this film before we start. The film brought in $16 million at the box office, which ranks it at number 64 in 1989. It did about half of what Weekend at Bernie's did.
That's a great film. Yeah, yeah.
But that film, nobody saw it. So yeah, $16 million, so that was realistically a bust, as it barely broke even. So 6 months later, Vince goes for round two to try and entice the audience by putting it on pay-per-view, combined with a steel cage match. So December 27th, May 19th. So let's run down the film and then get a look at Hogan and Beaver versus Savage and Zeus. Yeah, no jokes.
Still your intro.
So we see Hogan, better known as Rip, in this film, and he has a match with Jake Bullet. He's on the roster. Bill Eady, Demolition Axe.
No way.
Whoa. Yeah, that's him.
Really?
So he had a wig and...
He just did a bit of that and a bit of that. Turned a bit oriental there. So Hogan successfully defending his WWF title. WWF title.
Yeah, this movie doesn't know whether it wants to be set in the real world or a fictional world. It's just...
Okay, it was a little bit confusing, but I had no specific issue with it being set in the WWF. And the belt had a nice white strap on the belt as well.
Yeah, the belt actually looks really cool with the white strap. Yeah.
Then it cuts to Brell, who is an evil chairman of a rival channel, and he complains about Hogan's success. Now, Brell is Kurt Fuller. Do you guys recognise him?
He's in Rakes of
Yeah, he's one of those, isn't he?
Yeah, I recognise him as Russell, the evil businessman from Wayne's World.
Very good.
That's pretty much spot on, yeah.
Hogan's cheered on by his younger brother, Randy!
He turned out as Mark Pellegrino's.
Yes.
Yeah.
He turned out to be in Lost.
Yes.
You know, the Jacob.
Oh, he's
character.
Jacob, right.
Yeah, yeah. He's really cool.
And
in Lost.
He's also Bishop in the US version of Being Human. He's awesome in that show.
Yeah. He's not awesome in this.
No.
He looks young and
gay.
Yes.
Yeah.
He looks like Bross or something. Do you remember that?
He looks like two people.
Very good.
And so Hogan wins his match. Would you say Jake bit the bullet?
Hogan ripped him apart.
Hey. Did you see Hogan? He's trying to get this thing over in the whole movie. He does his shaka bra hand signal.
Shaka bra!
Why did he never brought that out? Well, maybe. Well, yeah.
He was like in some way trying to advertise like Thunder in Paradise. Yeah.
And does he go with Shaka Bra all the time?
Maybe, because you know he's like a beach dude, you know, surf dude or something.
Yeah.
Where you know there's always a fjord somewhere. Hogan's name is Rip in this movie. I was like, is he just called that because he rips his top off at the start of every match?
Could do. Like, he does a shaka bra and they're like, rip him.
Oh, rip him is like a surfing term, right?
Oh, it is.
Riding the rip or something.
That's splitting your pants.
Or shagging a fat board.
Hogan actually beats him with a running axe handle.
Which apparently he used in Japan as his finisher.
As his finisher?
Mm.
Very good. Ooh. Yeah, it's called the Axe Bomber.
Did you guys hear how fake the bumps and punches sounded?
Yeah, it's like Rocky, you know.
But like, surely the real wrestling sounds are good enough, considering this is a movie made by a wrestling company. Would they not just settle with what a real canvas is like? Hogan wins his match after he hulks up. He got ripped. Maybe. I don't know. Is that a bad one? It sounds bad to me. And
well, he did get indicted in the steroids.
Next scene, we are at a board meeting with the evil Braille, and he's pissed about Rip getting all of the ratings. Clearly, he's billionaire Ted. Yeah, this is just like kind of art imitating life.
Yeah, but this was taken
away. This is not art.
It's just shart imitating life.
They took it one step further, though, as in, I can understand that Vince and Hulk are the executive producers and they're pushing their own agenda, but suggesting that Rip is basically the number one guy on TV in the whole world.
In the whole of the world,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Braille just wants him is a little bit far-fetched.
Do you know, you'd need to actually get the Federation as well, like the wrestling company. You couldn't just take Hogan.
Yeah, yeah.
And hey, look, here's Hogan. Hello.
Yeah, yeah, running the ropes for an hour. Like.
But you gotta buy ropes first.
Shaka bra!
Your man Braille uses words like, oh, mealy mouth crap, and Rip has his price. And it's like, did a wrestler write this? This is a wrestling promo. It's actually worth noting, when they turned in the first script, Hogan and Vince saw it and they hated it. They rewrote the script over 3 days in a hotel room together.
I tell you what, Joe, you were looking at the same trivia section on IMDb as I was.
Right there. Braille has a meeting and intimidates his subordinates, fires some woman by telling her to take a leak, and vows to sign Hogan. They get over how Hulk's not for sale. Hulk Hogan, not for sale.
So then Braille meets up with Rip and then proceeds to lick his arse for about 5 minutes. He tells him that he'll pay anything for him to sign, but Rip walks out, and then Braille pushes him and screams at him and calls him a jock ass to his face.
You jock ass!
A lot of jock ass in this movie.
Rip stuffs the check down Braille's mouth. Scene end.
I was thinking at this point, Rip's only resemblance to Hulk is the fact that he looks like him.
He's supposed to be.
He's so
Hulk Hogan on and off screen.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, supposed to be an altruist, you know. Hulk Hogan, you know, he's a lovely guy, you know. What are his favourite things to do? Charity, put people over, pass the torch, and hang and bang Brutus. Hogan refuses Braille's blank check, so Braille's limo driver traps him in the back of the limo and brings him to a warehouse full of goons for Hogan to destroy to the sound of 80s punk rock.
He also bursts out of the roof. He does like a vertical leap of about 9 feet in the air. It was amazing. It was like Steve Austin, $6 million man.
So he dispatches with them pretty sharpish, saving the driver for last, and we get the line of the movie in his best Vince impersonation, which is, what's that smell? Dookie.
Oh my goodness.
Holy did you notice shit, that man. It was the Dookie was all the way up his back?
I thought he he pissed his ass. It's like, coming out of my ass.
Hogan's back at the office. He's introduced to his new account executive, Samantha, played by Joan Severance, who's a model who mostly did TV ads. But
she's in a great movie, See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Hogan gets over that. His passion is charity and not money. Hulk Hogan.
So I just like to point out, it was like Hogan cracking one off to himself. Oh, I love charity, yeah. And, you know.
You'd expect that.
Oh, yeah.
Hogan and Samantha business talk over dinner, and
I like to point out that there was one other person at that dinner. Hogan's suit. It was amazing.
Did you appreciate Hogan the face in all white, and you never guess what happens to the one in all black?
She's an absolute bitch. She's totally talking down to him because she thinks he's an uncultured fool who knows nothing about eating well. What a fucking weapon. Like, obviously, it turns out that the chef is a huge fan and Rip's a regular, so he asks for the usual. And Sam is impressed. What a fucking turncoat. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Burrell and his two stooges hit up a dive bar featuring trash brawling in a makeshift ring, and Burrell decides that drunken hicks brawling is the way to go.
And a whole lot of hilarity surrounding cliches ensues for the next 5 minutes.
Oh my god.
We have one guy asked for a dry martini. He wants to pay with a credit card. The owner of the bar spits on his shoes. Tobacco. Haven't seen those cliches before.
And then there's the lovely waitress with the snorting, and she calls the suits a bunch of fags. I'm like, no, there are no sticks here, mate. Ooh, amazing.
Okay, so we have the cameo of the night. Steve, do you want to take us through?
During the scene where the lads are sitting at their table watching the two fat hicks fight, we get a glimpse of the midget from Game of Thrones in a cage above their table.
Yes, Tyrion of the House Lannister, the amazing acting hand of the king.
He was in, like, Niptuck about 10 years ago as well.
Mm. All joking aside, do they live a full life?
I thought you were going to say, like, do they live in cages?
Do they have, like, a miniature house? Are your shoes, like, from dolls?
Do they, though?
A lot die before birth, but some die around 30, you know, but it depends on the type of dwarfism, you know? Yeah. But on average, it's about 10 years before the normal population.
Yeah. Sounds about right, yeah.
So he's got about another 10 years. Was one of the other fighters Mad Dog Vashon?
I don't think so.
I'd imagine he was well dead by this movie.
No. He made an appearance at Over the Edge 98, where he said...
Ooh, oh, one away.
Wait, 97? Yeah, in 2012, your man Tyrion, he's great, but in 1989, poor guy.
One of the suits asks about the rules at one point. I had thought of you, Steve. He said to the guy who was chewing the tobacco, what about the rules?
Damn right! Rules are important. There's an absolutely amazing joke where the two suits are in the most Ming and Jacks in the world, and they're slagging the patrons, and one of the lads that was fighting, he just comes out and says they've got small dicks.
He's calling them whiners or something.
Amazing jokes. Vince rolling around in his penthouse. Like.
Burrell announces on TBS, otherwise known as WTN, the World Television Network, that they'll air The Battle of the Tough Guys.
Battle of the Tough Guys. What the fuck is that?
Surely it's a battle between tough guys.
I know, but the state of that name.
I watch it.
Yeah, so that's just a tournament of fighting yokels where the winner gets $100,000.
And then they showed us 5 or 6 clips of tough guys all over America listening to this on their radio. I'm like, I thought this was on telly. But, you know, you give your bikers and your trucker and a welder. Yeah. Must be done with Flashdance. Like.
Okay, so that slovenly hicks duke it out until Zeus hits the scene. Actually, one of them is Neanderthal, which is Stan Hansen, who made it big in Japan, in All Japan and the AWA.
That's correct.
He wouldn't give Gagne back the belt. He actually said, no, I'm not dropping it. So they stripped him of the belt. He wouldn't give it back, and he just rode over it in his 4x4, over until he broke it, and then handed it back.
I love wrestlers. Yeah. They're so great.
It's like, oh, alright, I'm off to Japan, fuck yous. Zeus hits the scene and everyone gets the job as his theme song plays.
Zeus and his belly top, like, and his cockeye. It was hilarious.
He walks in, the first thing he does is beat up a defenseless woman. That's pretty good heat.
Jeff Jarrett's taking notes. Hulk's trainer, who used to train Zeus, tells us that Zeus killed some kid after the bell and is now just released from prison. The tournament continues as Zeus jobs out a guy in a steel mill. Hogan and love interest Samantha have lunch at a diner. They chat to a black stereotype Sadie, and she's like, "Wooey, Thomas, get that cat! Turn me loose!" And she extols Rip's virtues. And then, obviously, robbers come in, try to stick up the place. And Hogan cleans house to some 50s song. And I was like, shouldn't the Honky Tonk made a song and that could have played there?
Yeah, good point, actually. Yeah, that was a terrible scene. I mean, he's already beaten up people about 10 minutes previous. He does need to do it again. We get it, like.
Hogan's in blue spandex. What a fucking carny.
He looks amazing in this scene. It's like Glacier, only, like, 8 years early.
Like, everyone knows Hulk Hogan and he wears the red and yellow, but here he's like pre-Hulkamania, pre-AWA white and blue attire. It's really weird.
I think he rocks these Lycra outfits. He looks great in them. Like, only Hulk Hogan could wear this shit and not get, like, gay bashed.
Hogan and Sam are staying in a hotel, but whoa, what's this? A reservation is for one bed. So Hogan does the noble thing.
I'd just like to point out that Sam turns into a snarky bitch again. She's complaining about the quality of the room, there being one bed, blah, blah, blah. And Hogan just turns around and goes, "You fucking rented it. Don't blame me." And she just goes into the jacks in a huff.
I miss that.
But she's such a bitch in this movie. Yeah. She's an absolute weapon.
So Hogan's... Jesus, all right. So Hogan splits the room in half. He puts up a curtain?
Yeah.
And then, it's hilarious. She's in the bathroom and he has to swallow his mouthwash because he doesn't want to go into the bathroom.
Oh, we get the kind of really bad teenage angst scene where they're both brushing their teeth and kind of resting their ear against the table to hear what the other is doing.
Yeah. And then, so she's real paranoid about him seeing her naked, but she still walks out with, you know, her tits hanging out, basically.
Yeah, she was really hot. Really hot.
So, Sam wakes up to the sound of presumably Hulk Hogan and furiously masturbating. She takes a peek and she's like, egg cups? And I was like, what the hell's that?
Yeah.
And then they're revealed to be Hogan's ankles and he's doing press-ups.
Was that supposed to be funny? Was that like American Pie stuff or...
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well,
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's good, actually.
Rip being such a gent, you know, hanging up the curtain and then not wanting to go into the bathroom as well. Followed up by having a wank. What a manky fucker.
What a gent.
And like, I'm clearly bouncing up and down on the bed while he's doing it.
Oh, it was amazing. What a scene.
And like, lovely sight of him in his fucking tongue. Like,
how was your hole, Hulk?
He was wearing shorts. Are they not comfortable enough? Like, they take them off.
They were shorts, weren't they?
Yeah.
Randy Orton's getting ideas. So Hogan breaks the bed and Sam gives out to him saying, Hogan, your cheap tricks, I'm not one of your floozies. And Hogan says, oh, fuck off,
you frigid bitch, and gets out of there.
So Hogan will sleep in the lobby couch. On the lobby couch.
Hide inside.
Starts furiously masturbating. Alright, so... Sam goes to Drell and it's revealed that she was a heel, she was working for him all along to seduce Hogan and ruin him, and she says, no, now I love him, he's a great guy, and Drell heels out by kapow to the face.
I love the 80s.
Holy shit, man, what's going on with
honestly
this
though, did anybody feel bad for her, or were you thinking you fucking deserve that smack in the mouth? Like,
pretty much like. But what really, you know, got my goat was that 30 seconds later, then she's back to Rip and she's spilling her guts. And he's like, it's all right, love. You know? Trying to ruin his career one second, then, go on, run along. Fucking hell.
So she goes running to Rip as they make up, and Zeus comes on the TV and challenges them, and then challenges them again at a family picnic, and Brell calls Zeus the world champion. I guess...
Maybe it's like...
The World Tough Guy Champion, huh?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Should have had a bet.
Yeah, but surely the final is Rip and Zeus.
Brell and Zeus are on, whatever, Turner Broadcasting. They're on different companies. You know, Hogan is with Vince, so...
Even better, did you notice that it was Jesse who was doing the commentary on Battle of the Tough Guys?
Was he?
Don't you work in the WWF in this movie?
Maybe it's a territory system where there's no exclusivity.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There's no territories in 1989.
They still had the AWA, you know. They're all spiraling into the toilet. Like,
Hogan is at a sports day teaching children how to wrestle, and there's two youngfellas wrestling, and one clearly wins, and then Hogan turns around to them and goes,
It's okay, brother. You're both winners. I said, no, you're fucking not. The one who won is the winner. And then from out of nowhere, a chopper shows up and Zeus gets out with Braille. And they all look terrified. And Hogan backs away as the kids look sad that he didn't batter Zeus. I actually thought this was a pretty good scene.
So the damsel in distress, Sam, gets attacked again and I guess raped. This is a terrible town you live in.
Yeah.
Come on. So Hogan can sort him out while on his motorcycle to the sounds of 80s synthesized saxophone.
I don't think he was going to rape her. Don't know what he was going to do with it.
Her shirt was a bit up.
And he's straddled between her legs, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. He should have just arrived and... Nice.
start furiously masturbating.
Cut to the set of the 97 Roz War opening video location. And Randy, Jacob from Lost, and his mate go to a Zeus match. They get caught and Randy gets battered and put in hospital.
That's... Yeah, I mean, you've got the general idea here, but this is... So, Steve, in your opinion, Randy deserved to get battered here?
In a way, yeah. Randy hits Zeus, in brackets, fucking retard, and Zeus batters him, serves him fucking right.
Okay, well, Randy and his boyfriend...
Oh, his mate is a knob end,
They looked a bit dodgy, but anyway, they were just... I don't know why they went to watch Zeus fight anyway. It wasn't as if he was scouting for Rip, because at this point Rip hadn't accepted a challenge. So you know, maybe it was curiosity, I don't know. And then I think they were pretty much going to walk away and go home. And then at that point, Braille noticed the Rip'em t-shirt and he's holding them against their will. Then they bring him up to Zeus. At this point, it's clear that Zeus is going to batter Randy. So I think, does he try and get the first dig in or something?
And then he got battered for it.
Yeah,
but he's going to get battered anyway. Yeah, he had no choice. He was going to get battered. So he's like, maybe I can try to get the upper hand or something. And I reckon you can go smash him, but I wouldn't put him in hospital. Like,
yeah.
This is worse than roughing him up or, you know, kicking him in the tummy or something. This is like jail worthy.
That's what I have here. Instead of, you know, Rip accepting the challenge, then I'm going to take you on, Zeus, because you battered my brother. Why didn't you just ring the police?
Like, because then people would know Rip's afraid.
Oh.
But then he'd just get in the ring at the battle at the end and he'd be like, 1, 2, 3. And the winner in 4 seconds, Rip Hulk Hogan.
It was at this point that I realised that this film is basically a combination between Rocky 3 and Rocky 4.
Very good. Go ahead, explain.
Rocky 3, Clubber Lang, I want you, Rocky. And Rocky says, eventually, okay, I'll take you on. Then, in Rocky 4, doesn't Ivan Drago kill Apollo Creed, Rocky's mate?
Yeah.
In this, Zeus batters Rip's brother, therefore inducing him to a challenge.
In saying that, Rip's brother deserves it.
So, in an amazing slow montage segment, Hogan goes to Zeus's gym and destroys it. And there are explosions everywhere. And
it's like Nitro entrances, like just those little sparklers going.
So like Hogan would like smash a window and he smashed a big Zeus sign and loads of sparks come out. Can they not afford fuses in the gym?
Or like circuit breakers?
They're pretty cheap, you know?
Rip should be going to London in August. Did you see his fucking javelin? Like, he picks up the metal bar of a dumbbell and javelins it through the lens of a camera.
Yeah.
Holy that's fucking impressive. Shit! That's impressive. Give him the gold now.
He's more of a dart. That's more darts than javelin, though.
A dart?
Rip visits Randy at the hospital and vows to take out Zeus.
Did Zeus really beat up Randy that bad that Randy is now paralyzed? What did he do with him? He's just kind of...
He's just hurt.
He is paralyzed, actually.
Like, because he has to learn to walk again.
Yeah.
But doesn't he learn it in, like,
2 weeks?
No, we'll get to that.
I was going to say, I thought Hogan actually acted quite well in the scene. He got, like, real tears and shit, so fair play.
I started laughing.
Really?
Steve's sitting there at the box of cleaning.
It's because I was having a wank.
Yeah, there was an amazing intersplice with Zeus and his workout montage and Randy's recovery montage. It was just great.
Yeah.
So we cut to an 80s classy TV arena. Features an eight-sided ring, and Brell announces the matchup. Hogan versus Zeus in 2 weeks.
Hold on. What is Rip a trained physio? Like, why was he helping his brother learn to walk again rather than a trained professional?
I think it's maybe, look at Zeus, he's getting ready, so he'll be at his peak. Hogan cares more about his brother than the match. He cares more about his charity work than the match. Just like the real Hogan. The big night arrives, and the goons kidnap Sam, and Brell blackmails Rip into throwing the fight after 10 minutes. Make it look good. They rush to find her as a wheelchair-bound Randy is left to it. So, World Wrestling Federation champion Rip complete with belt. Yeah, he gives Randy his shaka bra! Rip'em hand signal. That never got over.
Why is the fight of the century taking place in a poxy little TV studio with about two... this is like where they tape, like, winning streak or something. You know, there's about 150 Elwins from Mayo there in the corner. Like, surely this should be taking place in, like, fucking Cowboy Stadium or something. Yeah.
I thought this was, like, set in the Impact Zone. but sure, everyone was dressed in, like, Black Tie Gala affair, so... Hmm?
No.
I don't think they'd be that rowdy to cheer and get into a wrestling match, though. Yeah. Steve, do you want to run down the fight?
Yes. First of all, amazing entrance gear for Zeus. He looks like the gold Power Ranger or something. I love it.
Will he not be the black Power Ranger?
I was going to go there.
Sorry, can you say that again?
No, I'm going to leave that in. You're racist.
Did you know that in like season 2 of Power Rangers, like the black Power Ranger was played by a black guy and the yellow Power Ranger was played by an Asian girl.
Oh yeah.
Classy program. Mm-hmm.
To kick off the match, Zeus gives Rip a knee in the balls and gets great heat from it. And then immediately we move into a choke spot that goes on for about 2 minutes. Meanwhile, Sam tries to escape as the guys are watching the fight, and she does. End of kidnapping.
And everyone's happy.
The two of them are watching the fight, and
that's because they're so invested in this match.
And she literally just
walks
gets
out,
up and walks
out the door.
Hmm? Yeah.
Would you not have at least cuffed her to the chair? Paper.
My favourite spot in the match was when Zeus was going to drive the ring post into Rip's skull.
Yeah, holy shit.
Like,
that
that's murder.
A fantastic angle. Like, pulling off the ring post, breaking it.
It looks great. But like, that's essentially murder. Like, you know, so you better hope you don't hit him. Like.
I think that shit is covered in wrestling.
Yeah, the bell rings.
Tap out. Tap out. You know? If you don't want to get a smack of a ring post, you better get tap a tapping. Like.
It reminded me of, we're going forward a little bit, I think could have been 92 maybe.
Spoilers.
Spoiler.
Do you remember the Berserker?
Hi, Toss. He was great.
He did this great spot. He had his big broadsword and Undertaker was lying in the ring and he was literally going to, you know, put it through
impale
the skull.
Him,
yeah. And unfortunately...
Through the skull?
Yeah, through the skull.
It's like Ganon at the end of Wind Waker.
Oh, spoiler!
Fortunately, the Undertaker rolled out of the way and lived to tell the tale.
Excellent.
So, Zeus no-sells Rip's comeback just as Sam makes it to the lift. Then he continues to just get more heat on Rip, and Sam is eventually saved by Rip's black maid. So then Zeus, like Steve said earlier, rips the ring post up and tries to impale Rip's face. Then Rip sees that Sam is safe. He hulks up and starts to make a comeback.
It was a very poor hulk up.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
This was like Cena 2007 booking. Sell for the first 6 minutes and then come back with a big FU.
Yeah.
Or 2012 booking.
Yeah. Then Rip hulks up and then returns the favor and no sells for Zeus. Then he catches his punch, continues to batter him. Rip hits an absolutely atrocious looking body slam. And as Zeus is getting back up to his feet... Rip hits his running double axe handle, but Zeus makes another comeback and then hits Randy and then some other randomers as he's trying to escape.
And then Zeus is going up the stairs, Randy falls over, he kicks him in the tummy. Just, I'm walking up the stairs, bit of a kick.
Did you notice that Randy's little finger starts to wiggle at one point? Kind of, you think to yourself, oh great, he's regained the feeling in his body.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens 30 seconds later.
And then they fight just outside Braille's area where he's watching the match from.
Rip hits him with a running axe handle and Zeus goes flying off the stage and through the ring. A great spot. Yeah, so Hogan disposes of Zeus and then Braille shouts, "Stay away from me, you jockass!" And he pulls out live wires and Frank Grimes himself.
It was actually, I thought that was pretty decent. He was trying to cut the transmission of Rip beating his boy Zeus.
Yeah.
And in the process murdered himself. So that was pretty cool.
Did you notice that as Rip was going for Braille when he was ripping out all the wires and shit, he was just completely snarling. He was like, just going fucking mental. It was awesome.
So the crowd mark out and we see that Randy is regained full fitness as well, which is remarkable.
Amazing. Yeah.
Wiggle your finger and then he's up on his feet. Oh, fair enough, he's being held up, but he's still on his feet. Like,
surely he has already been wiggling his fingers considering the physio montage. And you know, with Rip being your physio, you're obviously going to, you know, get there quicker. Like,
he's already been half walking at that point, and then he
he's like holding the banisters with his muscles and shit. Like, you know,
stand up, you lazy cunt. So the crowd mark out as the No Holds Barred theme plays, and the Faces freeze finish with a shock-a-bra. Alright, any final thoughts on the movie?
Well, I gave this 2 out of 5. So,
what's that?
It's four about 4 out of 10. Okay. You know,
it's exactly 4 out of 10.
That's approximately right.
But yes, I thought that for an 80s action movie based on wrestling, this was alright. Obviously, the characters are waffer thin. And
what's a waffer?
It's how culture say wafers.
Are they?
Yeah.
All right.
Granny's from like Waterford. Yeah, yeah. She goes, "Do you have any them wafers?"
I don't know waffle.
Are you having a stroke?
Yeah. Like I said, characters are waffer thin. Only kind of Rip has even any semblance of depth, and he's pretty likable. Rip.
Yeah.
His brother's a douchebag. Yeah. Sam's a cunt. Brell is the most one-dimensional bad guy I've ever seen in the world.
More so than Zeus.
Zeus is awesome.
He was one-dimensional. He couldn't be.
He has no dimensions. He doesn't even speak.
He has no dimensions. Zero dimensions.
Yeah, he's like a string in space somewhere vibrating.
Can you get a clip of a string in space vibrating?
Some of the worst music I've ever heard in a movie. I thought Jim Johnson was good at his job. Holy shit, he's not.
But this was classic 80s music, though.
Well, this is using the same instruments that you have at your disposal, and the best he did at the time was probably, you know, Common Man by Dusty Rhodes. Mm. I have to say, like, I love wrestling and, you know, 80s wrestling, but I wouldn't tell a person to watch this, and I wouldn't tell a wrestling fan to watch this. This is a horrible film. This is bad. And it's like, I wouldn't watch this film if we weren't reviewing it, and I wouldn't watch the film again, but I'd watch our review of it. You might have guessed I don't like Hogan, and so seeing him being, oh, I'm about charity, I'm about my brother, dude, you know, shock-a-bra, it's like, fuck off. I think this is just one big huge wanking session for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Vince, it's really weird,
especially the scene where he's having a wank.
But the only saving grace is that this is only 90 minutes long, so,
well, a little less than, but I was
87 minutes long.
Right. I was very skeptical going into it because A, I don't like movies with wrestlers in them. I think this is probably the third movie I've ever watched with a wrestler in it. And B, back I didn't like those 80s movies with like Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I loved all of those when I was growing up.
Well, that helps.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't find this movie too offensive. Like,
I don't rate wrestling pay-per-views, you know.
Yeah, it was pulling teeth trying to get you to watch this.
Yeah, I do rate movies. And I gave this a not so bad 3 out of 10.
It's time for our main event. It's the Steel Cage Match.
Just a bit of background on it, that Zeus was brought in prior to SummerSlam to promote the movie, and they had their tag match at SummerSlam. It was actually based on Zeus saying he was angry that he jobbed in the movie, and I'll beat you in real life in the WWE.
That's amazing.
So the film was a work. This was real. So
that confuses me, because so in the movie, Hulk Hogan played the character Rip. In the movie, Tony Lister played the character Zeus. So when he went to the WWF to wrestle Hulk Hogan, he should have been called Tony Lister.
Tony Lister, yeah.
Not Zeus. So, a bit of grey area there.
There were rumours that if No Holds Barred and Zeus was a success, that it would have been Hogan versus Zeus at Mania 6. And, well, it wasn't.
Spoilers!
So it wasn't. Like, this is why they had the pay-per-view for No Holds Barred, because they just felt, man, we need to make more money off this. This is terrible. So yeah, let's try co-promote it with a match. I just had a look at the buy rates, and having a look, like, okay, Zeus was in two pay-per-views. He was in SummerSlam 89, which did 575,000 buys, and that's up 75 from last year. And he was also at the Series 89, and that was 380,000 buys, and that's up 80 from last year. And WrestleMania 5, which he wasn't in, that was 650,000 buys, and that's up 150. So it's like business did better, but not as better when he was around.
Okay,
if that makes any sense. But how did this do? The match, the movie, the match on pay-per-view drew 180,000 buys, which was a success, and 30,000 more buys than Starrcade 89. But that being said, I looked at 1990s buy rates, and they're the same as 89, so I don't think he was a failure at all.
No, he was great. Classed him as failure. I thought, for what he was booked to do, he was perfect at it in both the movie and pretty much all the spots. I thought he was awesome.
I would have liked to see him in WWF, but moving on to other feuds and things like that.
I'd have liked to have seen him destroy Beefcake, like how he, you know, the Randy spot from the movie, kill Hogan's best mate. And then he can do montage of Hogan doing Beaver's physio.
I imagine that's what would have happened if they did WrestleMania 6 together. Alright, so let's transition over to the cage match, which was really a 10 minute match, 13 minutes of build, and about 10 minutes of plugging the Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble. You know when Vince screams the card down at you? At one point, he calls it the Royal Rumble.
The Royal Rim Job.
Zeus, Macho Man, with Sherry, versus The Beefer and Hulk Hogan in a steel cage match. Now, this was taped on December 12th at Wrestling Challenge in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're getting to see it tonight, December 27th.
December 27th.
December 27th.
12/27.
What do you got there in your notes?
Sean Mooney with, like, the best line ever. He gets into the cage and he kind of looks around and just goes, "You can't help but feel the awesomeness." I thought that was a great line. And then we got a great recap video, which you must have loved, Steve.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You're not sick of it at this stage, since we've seen it at SummerSlam and Survivor.
Yeah, there's a
series.
Bit more to it. I think there's a it was a more complete, rounded version of everything that's happened in a nice, concise format. That's all it needs.
All right. Saturday night's main event, where Zeus is blocking Hogan's entrance, and so he, you know, does his big rah!
Oh, yeah.
And SummerSlam, where there was a tag match with Macho and Zeus versus Beefer and Hogan. That's the one where Zeus jobs to a purse, and Survivor Series, where Zeus does the hunk neck snap and gets eliminated because he's uncontrollable. And so now, yeah, we got the match. So the heels come out first. Alright, so we start the match. Sherry ambushes Hogan and he gets locked out of the cage as the bell rings. Why would a bell ring if not everyone's in the ring at the point?
Oh, the bell hadn't rung until he was locked out.
Yeah, it was like, oh, he's locked out. Ring, ring, ring.
Yeah, and then at that point, I mean, with the cage being what it was, it's never going to be difficult for him to climb into it.
And he did just that.
Yes, he did.
Pretty sharpish, yeah. Mind you. Yeah, Sherry actually locks the cage and Hogan climbs the ring, no bother. Zeus gets knocked down straight away and the face is clean house. I actually quite like this, the way it's such a big match and they actually start off with a big burst. Yeah, mayhem. There was four men in the ring at all times, so... Jesus. Zeus turns the tide by throwing Hogan and Beefer in the cage, and then Vince gets over, both men having to escape to win.
There was a bit of a... a bit of a SmackDown versus Raw spot with the two was a Beefer and Savage both climbing the cage very, very slowly at the same time. Very funny.
Yeah, maybe you can only get into a cage really quick, but you can't get out of it very quickly. Yeah, it's ad break time as Hogan and Zeus both go down and sell a big back body drop to Zeus, and then Beefer and Macho double, like, throw each other's face into the steel cage. But there's no break, so they just lie down for a minute. Sherry decides to give Macho a steel chain by climbing the cage and giving it to him over the top of the cage.
No sense at all.
This is not a large option. He's got to do more work.
I'm sure, like, she could probably worm through the gap of the cage. Like.
But I think it's just for our pleasure, because she kind of teetered halfway off the cage, so we get a good look of her arse. Like. Mm. And what an arse it is. Beefer escapes the cage, and this is where, like, kind of logic for steel cage tag team matches.
It's in what way would it ever be advantageous to leave your partner on his own in the cage?
Bringing it back to SmackDown versus Raw, years ago when I used to love those games, every time there was a, you know, like a tornado tag cage match, it is well in your best interest to let the opponent's tag team partner climb out first.
And then you just batter the
other
guy.
Then it's two on one. He stands no chance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Beefer's an idiot, basically.
Yeah.
Thankfully, this doesn't figure into the match at all, because Macho just escapes the door really quick.
Yeah.
After Beefer climbs out of the cage and then pulls out Macho, he actually tries to get back in the cage, and Hogan tells him, no, Zeus is mine. I thought that was a really good touch.
I was like, when you're out of the cage, surely you're out of the match.
Yeah.
Like, what's this?
Yeah. It's like the fucking Royal Rumble when... You're out and you pull someone. Oh,
the rumors.
God damn it.
Rules.
Hogan slams Zeus, drops the big leg 3 times, and eventually gets the pin for the win. The fans go mental.
Hogan, the master and savior of the universe, quells
and an
Zeus.
Awesome physio.
Quells Zeus 3 times in, I don't know, 6 months.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the end of Zeus. He would leave before the Royal Rumble, so this is the last we've got to see him. What did you think of the match, anyway?
I thought the match was pretty entertaining. It was nothing more than a TV match. I'd imagine if you bought this match, the movie, you'd be quite angry. Like, the campy 80-ness of it was great, but I'd imagine most people would fucking despise the movie, and a 20-minute build-up for, like, a 7 or 8 minute match is not great, like.
Thought the match was, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, quite enjoyable. Cage matches are usually pretty good anyway, so, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it was kind of just mayhem since it was 4 people in the ring, and so this match is kind of unremarkable, really. Yeah, it was just there, like, I didn't particularly think anything of it.
I've always thought that in these kind of matches, street fights and things like that, you know, you could just bring a gun into it. The bell rings, you shoot them in the knee, you don't have to kill them or shoot them in the stomach or whatever, pin them. Because Triple H uses sledgehammers, and if you whack somebody in the head with a sledgehammer, you probably kill them. So why are you allowed to use firearms in no disqualification matches?
Maybe you have to adhere to the TV's rule of, like, PG or something, so right. A firearm would be classed as, you know, TV 14 or something. That's all I got.
This was the first match that WWF had that was called No Holds Barred.
It was no holds barred. We're allowed one.
No, comma. Holds barred! Exclamation mark.
Any final words before we leave?
Mean Gene, first of all, mentions that some of the pay-per-view providers are not carrying WWF shows anymore, so please ring up your local cable provider and give out to them and demand that they get WWF shows back. We get more fucking Vince and Jesse banging on about the Rumble not being carried, freedom of speech, terrorists, blah blah blah. Typical America shit. I hated it. Hogan cuts a promo, more terrorism, blah blah blah. And we get a...
Does not ordering the Royal Rumble impinge on your freedom of America?
Yeah, no, because you're not free to order it if you want it. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, that's freedom of terrorists.
It's in the Constitution. Probably. It's somewhere at the back.
No, you know what would have been awesome? If they were like, yeah, that son of a bitch Brell is not letting you order it. You better get Hogan to...
Shock a bra.
Shock a bra.
I wonder if Brell hadn't been killed in Don't Hold Bard, would he have kind of been Zeus's manager? And
I thought it'd be so great. Mm. I imagine a Hollywood actor is not going to be too fond of...
Yeah, he'll have to hit on some hard times, you know. But he's still got like Wayne's World in the mix, you know? He's sorted, you know.
It's almost a case of Hogan is talking about his Hulkamaniacs, you know, as in the kids watching the pay-per-view, and he's saying, you know, go
buy my shit.
But yeah, he's basically saying, if you don't order the next pay-per-view,
you're not a Hulkamaniac.
Yeah, Hulk won't love you anymore.
Yeah,
it's terrible. You know, I was disgusted. I really was disgusted.
Yeah, I thought it really pissed me off during this.
That's amazing. That's like Santa Claus ordered his paper brother, and if you don't order it, he's not real. Yeah. I'm going to drop a bomb about Easter as well. All right, so let's head over to the Wrestling is Awesome segment. It's the music video for No Holds Barred.
Awesome!
Hey, little brother. It's me. I know you stood up to Zeus. I'm damn proud of you. Now it's my turn.
Down, gonna make things right, turn it all around, love goes by.
Alright, did you like that?
Yeah, I haven't seen the video, but that was good. Yeah.
Well, you just would have.
I've seen it now.
Oh, right, yeah.
But before you did that clip, I hadn't seen it.
Have you changed your mind about it?
Yeah, I love that bit. You know that bit.
Where he throws the bomb at the shark.
Yeah.
Alright, that'll do it for this week, lads. Yeah, great episode, as always. Next time on OSW Review, we'll be wearing real as we break our first pay-per-view of the 1990s. It's a 1990 Royal Rumble. So
it's going to be bodacious and gnarly and radical. Some awesome gnar-gnar next show.
So for me, Jay Hunter, this was Mr. OSD.
Hey.
And Steve.
We're after.
Shock of Rob.
Shaka Brah!